Well, greetings this morning in the precious name of our Lord. Thank you, Milton and Lena, for sharing your testimonies, and what a blessing when we find that new life in Christ and desire to walk with God's people. We are excited this morning to have you part of us. So we're thankful. A lot of memories go through my mind as I listen to those testimonies. It brings back a lot of memories. A lot of darkness. And, Lena, she seemed like she experienced maybe more of that darkness than what Milton had. And you could be here this morning a little bit more like Milton, not having to face all that darkness, and you can be very thankful. You can be very thankful that you don't have to go through all of that darkness. But we do encourage you to come to the Lord Jesus as well. I can promise you there's no greater experience in life that you can have than that. You know, it's a little bit like a drug addict or someone who takes that drug for the first time. They get such a high that first time, and then the rest of their life they try to match that high and they never get it. And if you're wanting an experience like none other, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. You will never be sorry. Why don't we rise and have a word of prayer? Oh God, this morning we are so grateful for such a great salvation that you've given us, oh God. Father, we're thankful this morning that you have done a great work in most of our lives, and we're grateful, Lord. We're thankful, Father, this morning that you have come up with the idea of the church, that we can be a body, brothers and sisters in Christ. We can love and care for each other. Lord, this was your design, and we're grateful, Father, this morning for the church of Jesus Christ. Lord, we do pray this morning that as we're here, that you would again minister to us by your word. Father, you know that I tremble at your word here this morning. I tremble at the topic here before us. It's not something that I feel like I've accomplished, but Lord, we're striving. And so we ask, God, that you would continue to guide and lead and direct us. We pray, Father, for your spirit this morning to bring inspiration, direction, and Lord, I just desire for your name to be lifted up and exalted, and we just commit the rest of the service into your hand in Jesus' name. Amen. And be seated. So, this morning we want to look at a few more principles considering our finances, and the next message I will preach will be on the giving part of finances. There is so much. We've barely scratched the surface, and yet I don't know where to start and where to stop. I did when I first gave in to what I had felt God prompting me to do for some time. I just started in Matthew and started leafing through and looking at God's word and what all that I could use as principles on finances. It is astounding. It is astounding. And it is astounding how much God, or how much Jesus taught on finances as well, or alluded to it. So, we are not going to cover all the principles. We're not going to cover all the ground that we could cover. But this morning I have, we have a few more that we want to look at. And then next time we want to look at, I'm not sure how it's going to go, but in our giving part of our finances. So a little recap. I don't know if somebody has remembers anything from the first message we preached on. It was on riches. Anyone have any, remember anything that we shared on that? I'm not a very good teacher, I know that. Go ahead.
Eternal riches?
Eternal riches, yes.
Riches, are
they good or bad? Yeah. The Bible has a lot to say about riches. Those eternal riches, we didn't spend much time looking at that. But then Jesus taught a lot of, not just Jesus, but Jesus taught a lot on the danger of riches. And we want to be, how we handle our money says a lot about our spiritual life. The way that we handle our money, and people are watching how we handle our money, is either a testimony or can be a curse or a slap. I don't know how to say it in the face of God. And we need to be very careful. Because we are, the riches they've taken many a soul to hell. What about the second message that we shared? Anyone remember anything there? Yes, stewards. And how we are all stewards. You know, there's not one of us sitting here that is, you know, we came naked into this world. We brought absolutely nothing with us. And so everything that we have is not necessarily ours, but we're stewards of that. So all of us are stewards of whatever we have. And the reality is we all will give an account for how we handle everything that we have. And so it's very important, and that's not just on finances, but it is, finances are definitely included in that. And we're looking at finances, so we looked at that. And faithfulness, you know, faithfulness is required as a steward. So as we think of the riches and the dangers of riches, and also being stewards of everything we have, what direction does God give us in His Word today as principles as we think of making choices? And I'm going to use the word business a lot this morning. When I say business, I'm not necessarily just referring to those who have businesses, but finance as a whole. I'm going to interchange finance and business. I don't want you to think that since I don't own a business, or so that you don't own a business, that I'm not, this does not include you, because it's finances that we're looking at. And so I'm not picking on those that have businesses. I want you to know that. I'm included. So the first point we want to look at this morning, we might not come quite out on some of those where you think. What is the first commandment that God gave man? Anyone know? He said to be fruitful. He said to be fruitful. Do you think that could include our finances? Could that include our finances, being fruitful? Do you think God wants us to not be fruitful in our finances? I think He wants us to be fruitful. So that's where we want to start this morning is we're going to look at that first command of being fruitful. And I know that that's not necessarily just, he's not necessarily pointing out to finances, but I do believe finances is included in that being fruitful. And then we also want to look at the other side. It's like a coin with two sides, being fruitful, and then what do we do with the fruit that we do get? So this morning, let's turn to Genesis 1, and we're going to start in verse 26 and read to the end of the chapter. And in Genesis 1, he says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree, in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat." And it was so, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now I'm going to flip over to chapter 9 and read the first verse there. And this is when Noah came out of the ark, and he says, "And God blessed Noah and his sons, and he said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." So God still had that in mind after Noah. So being fruitful. I don't exactly know what all you're thinking or what all you were all, yeah, I might not end up. To some, I might be too strong, and to others, I might not be strong enough. But anyway, we're going to try to give what I have felt the Lord laying upon my heart. So as we read these commandments, what is God talking about? And I know he's talking about bringing forth children and allowing him to be in charge of all those things. But I think that there's also a greater, I don't think there's anything that he's not talking about when we're talking about fruitful. I think it's a general, complete, and everything that we do, he wants us to be fruitful. We know that. It's a commandment that is on in the New Testament. I believe it's more than just replenishing the earth. God sent sent them out of the garden. And when they sinned and he sent them out of the garden, they were going to plant their seed. They were going to had to take care of it. And as you think of planting seed, is what you we want fruit. You know, when we go out in the garden and we sow seed, we're wanting a return. And that was part of God's commandment. They were supposed to sow the seed. And if you think of that in today's world, it's money. It's gain. It's possessions. And so God asked them to do so, to gain. He wants us to take care of our own. He wants us to work, not just so that I have something to allot to bring to myself, but that I have to give. So God, that's God's heart. That's God's heart. And I don't want to take out the spiritual life. He wants us to grow spiritually. He wants us to be fruitful spiritually as well. But I do believe that he's talking about a whole being fruitful. God commanded it. God commanded it, and so I believe the command is still for us today. So when Adam was put on this earth and he was told to be fruitful, or no, when he came out of the ark and they were told to be fruitful, commanded to be fruitful, the options that they had to do then and what we have today are vastly different in those 6,000 years. You know, today, there's a lot of options in a way to be that we can be fruitful. You know, should he do concrete work? Should he wash windows? Should he sell bait? Should he sell tolls? He was just told to be fruitful. You know, it didn't tell him exactly what he needed to do. Maybe he was making cabinets. But to be fruitful, God wants us to be fruitful in the thing that we lay our hand on to do. To be fruitful. And that is our duty as well. We should be fruitful in the business that God has given me. And that is, when I say a business that God has given me, that's whether I'm a servant in a business or business itself. I look at that equally. There's not, in my mind, there's not this one or the other. We are to be faithful. We're to be fruitful in whatever, wherever we find ourselves. Now, does it mean that as we're fruitful, does that mean that we should continue to put all the money back into that business? Or does it mean that all my money that I make as a servant in a business, does that mean that I keep heaping it up to myself? Where is the line? Where should that line be for us? Well, I'm not going to tell you where that line should be for us. But it's something that we should seek the Lord about because He cares. It says something about us and how we do business. And if we was to try to come to agreement where that should be, you think we could get that done? Think we could agree where that line should be? I mean, there's a wide variety of ideas, I know that. But we must be fruitful and we must be faithful. Let's never forget that. So I work at the grocery store and I take care of the produce. And Paul should look over my shoulder more than he does, but he doesn't do that much of it. And so I'm somewhat in charge. I'm just going to be open here a little bit as we think of being fruitful. He hears back from customers, and he doesn't just close his eyes and doesn't see things. We talk some. As far as I know, I'm not hiding anything. But as we think of that, now I mark the produce, and so what price should I put on that produce? We're talking about being fruitful, right? God wants us to bring in gain. He's not wanting us to go down and lose everything. That's not his heart. He wants us to bring in gain. How should we come up with a price for that? You know, and that varies. So, but I think it's good for us to think about and talk about. Should we just try to get our money out of it? Is that the goal? See, it's not really mine anyway. It's Paul's. Is that how we should look at it? But as a servant, I'm as responsible as the one I'm working for, I believe. So, in my mind, the way I want to look at it and how I want to handle it is, I want to do it as if how I would want Paul to do it if he was working for me. And I think that is a good goal to have, a good attitude to have, but I'm not saying I get it all right all the time. So some of you, it's, you know, how much should you charge to take care of a person's lawn? How do you come up with that price? Or fixing vehicles. You know, we can We all have different things that we do. How should we come up with that price? What are some principles that come into play? And first of all, I have a few goals that I want to put out there. What are some goals that we should have as we think of this in our business? What are some goals that we should have? What is the first? What is one of the, some of the goals that you think we should have? I think of a happy customer. Is that a good goal? I think that's a good goal for whatever business we're doing, that the customer, when he leaves, that he's happy. We want them to feel that they were treated right with respect. There are just a few goals that came to my mind. Is there, maybe you have a thought that comes to your mind, a goal that you have in the business that you do that you know that you've kind of surrounded yourself in this goal. I'm not going to get outside of these guidelines for the goals that I have. This is my goal and how I want to do my business. Is there anyone have any thoughts? Honesty, that's a big one.
Treating others the way you'd like to be.
Amen. Treating others as you want to be treated. I think of quality. Quality and what we, you know, and some things, if you're thinking of produce, some of the produce can be stressed. So it's not always great quality, right? But it should be quality for the price. Is that fair? Quality. Just some goals that, you know, we want to, if we go about with an attitude that we don't care, it's not going to turn out right. Or if we don't surround ourselves with things that I'm not going to overstep this boundary, it's not going to turn out right for us. And many of you do those things probably without even thinking about them. I also have down a servant of God. You know, and we're really, Jesus said, what you have done to the least of these, you've done it unto me. And I know he wasn't talking necessarily about business, but I do believe business can be part of that. So being a servant of God. What about some principles? Some principles that we can go by. And I have a list of them here, and we'll keep getting into more as we go on. Principles, Aaron mentioned being honest, fair, just, do unto others, integrity, virtue, humility. There's just a bunch of principles that we can apply as we think of our business, as we think of our how we handle our money. You know, if we think of customers and treating them right, if we don't treat our customers right, they're probably not going to come back, right? And there's no way for us to keep a business on new customers. So our goal is to be a blessing to them, to serve them in a sense. Being fair and just. We're looking at these with faithfulness in mind, being fruitfulness in mind. We can't sell all our product at cost or even not marked up enough. And at the end of the year, be fruitful. It doesn't work that way. But if we just guess at it, do you think we'll turn out that way? So what I'm wanting us to do is to think about some of the boundaries that we want to put around ourselves so that we don't mess up, so we're not as liable to get in trouble or whatever else. Whether it is in loss or too much gain. They're both a danger. They're both a danger. Loss or too much. You know, I think that God, and I'm sure you all do, God, as a child, when we give a child something to do, and they come and ask questions on how to do it, that blesses the parent, doesn't it? Well, what about our business? Do we ask God about the business that I am in, the thing that I'm doing? Do we pray about those things? Or is it, do we disconnect our day-to-day living to Sunday? Is that something different? In God's eyes, it's not. Our day-to-day living is very important to our spiritual walk with God. And we don't want to separate them. So being fruitful with our finances, as a steward of those things he gives us, and the relationship that comes around our business, the relationships with people, is very important to God, I believe. You know, if you think of a business that is doing shady business, you hear them doing shady business, is that a place that you normally like to go to? We all like to avoid those places. And so it's not a good testimony. So as we think of that, think of our finances. You know, the way that we handle our finances, if we're shady with our finances, it's not a good testimony. We don't like to go to a business that is shady. Neither do people like to be around people that are shady, whether it's finances or other ways. Honesty is a principle that we want to keep in the forefront of our lives, whether it's doing our taxes or just running our business or being a servant in the business. Integrity and virtue. You know, in our Bible study Wednesday evening, we read 2 Peter 1:4, and it talks about how God has given unto us his divine nature. Now think of that with my business, with what I do. You know, at times it can be hard to know, is this my fleshly desire, or is God leading me? If it's not, you know, way out there, we're trying to seek the heart of God, not just trying to be, just trying to escape something, but really trying to find the heart of God. Sometimes we're not sure, is it our fleshly desire, or is it God's heart? But think of that divine nature in us, that God has given us, as we do our business. Isn't that something that he would give part of himself? And it comes in here with our finances as well. A divine nature. So we all agree being fruitful is part of God's plan, right? Being fruitful. He said to be fruitful. We all believe that is part of God's plan as we think of finances. Am I right? Now we also had talked about riches, how dangerous they are. Now how can we be fruitful? I trust we're on the same page here. But as a coin has two sides, so does this topic. Now that we're all going to try to be fruitful, not overcharge, but charge enough. Now what do we do with our gain? Is the second point I would like to look at. And at the end, you're probably going to say, well, what did you really say? I just have a few thoughts. I don't have very specific things that I can just tell you what you need to do. And after this point, we have several other little points we want to make. Here's where it gets sticky. What do you do with your extras? What do you do with the things that you don't, you know, you've bought the groceries for this week, you've made all your payments for this month, and you still have whatever you still have left over? What do we do with that? Do we just continue to grow our bank accounts? Do we go buy a new truck? What do we do with those things? It's a testimony in our community what we do with those things. And I just want to bring that out. It's a testimony in the community. Either it's a good testimony or then it's a bad testimony. What do we do with those things once we've paid the bills and we still have extras? What do we do with those things? I have a quote here from Clement Alexander, early church. From the early church, it says, "Let no man destroy wealth." So you think he wants to be wealthy? He said, "Let no man destroy wealth. Rather, let him destroy the passions of the soul. For these are incompatible with the better use of wealth. For becoming virtuous and good, he may be able to make good use of those riches. The renunciation, then, and selling of all possessions is to be understood as spoken of the passion of the soul." That was his understanding of the selling all and giving all. So he said, let no man destroy wealth. In other words, giving it away was his idea of it. So what do we do with those extras? Keep adding on to the business? What should we do? When I say keep adding on to the business, as a servant of the business, I'm talking about my bank account growing or buying stuff that I don't really need, just adding to my collection of things. I'm not here just talking about business. I want you to get that. I am as responsible as any of you that have a business. We will give an account for everything that we do or how we use our things. Do you think of your business or just what is my goal for the next year? What do I want it to look like in 10 years from now? You know, if we don't surround ourselves with some kind of a perimeter, there is no end to where we can go. So I do believe, and where that perimeter is, I'm not going to tell you where that perimeter is for you. But I do believe that we should all have a perimeter of some sort on how that should be. I just think it would be wise. If we don't put guidelines in for ourselves, we will get in trouble. I mean, it works that way in every other part of life, does it not? Why would finances then be excluded? I don't believe it is. I believe that finances are included in that. And I'm preaching to myself. We're talking about our possessions as well, bank accounts. You know, if say that I have a goal that I'm not going to have more than X amount of dollars in my bank account, is also not just good enough. Because I can then spend it and keep it right under that line, just keep spending it and adding on to my collection of whatever I have. And that's also not God's heart. So somehow, we shouldn't just see how big we can get our bank account, on the other hand, we also don't want to just go spend it on ourselves just to keep it under a certain goal or a certain line. So there's, and we think of giving as a big part of that. Advancing God's kingdom, wouldn't that be the most exciting thing that we could do with our money, is advancing God's kingdom? So may God help us as we think of that, and we're, like I said, we'll talk more about that next time. I need guidelines. My bank account just can't grow and grow. What should we do? In Mendon, Ohio, and I talked to you about one other time about how I had numerous people that came and asked me if I ever taught on finances. Of course, I hadn't. But there's these two deacons from the same church, and they said that they know how much money the other one has. I'm not talking that that's just what me and Melvin should do, but they do as a whole in their church. They know where they're at. Now, you might think that is overstepping their boundaries. I'm not going to say yes or no. I'm just telling you how they do it. Now, I'll say this on their account. They wouldn't want it any other way. I'll say that on their account. The two deacons that I talked to, I can't talk about all the people. But they seem to be united. They seem to be a blessing. And as well, you know, as well as they don't want their businesses to get too big, their bank accounts to get too big, they also don't want their churches to get too big, so they've got an outreach. And they're starting, and they're all grieving on who should go because they all love each other. Because they're very, very entwined in each other's lives. And that is part of it. And if you think that I want my nose in your bank account, that is not what I'm after here today. That is not what I'm after. But I do believe that somehow we're not accountable enough one to another and what all goes on in those areas. And I'm first, okay? Nobody's come and asked him, so I haven't given anybody my finance sheet, so I'm first. I'm not saying talking about something that I've accomplished. I don't think I'm hiding anything, but I've also not been as open as I probably should be. Does that sound scary? If your brother would know what you have, why or why not? Just questions. But as we think of eternity, and we're all going to be accountable, why do we not ask each other more? Why do we not counsel each other more on this sticky thing of finances? I better move. My time is going a lot faster than I am. Let's read 1 Peter 5. I thought I might get done early, and I'm taking too much time. 1 Peter 5. And I was going to read from 1 to 11, but I think we'll just start with verse 5. And, we'll read a few verses here. Starting in verse 5 of chapter 5 of 1 Peter, it says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." And I think we'll just stop there. There's other things that we could look at, being sober, being vigilant. And while we don't think of these things as in finances, is finances somehow excluded from being subject one to another? Is humility somehow being excluded from finances? You know, we don't put our finance... We don't like to think of our finances as some kind of spiritual thing as part of my issue and my thinking. But God wants us to be subject one to another. And if we're going to be subject one to another, it takes humility. And these are two principles that will take us a long way in our finances. If we're willing to open up ourselves and being humble. It's our pride that can keep us from opening up, whether I'm in need or I have something to give. Either way. While I don't say that I do it right, Can you get the attitude from me at times that I do it right? You know, it's sometimes it's not what I say, but it's the attitude that I carry along. And so as we think of that with our finances, do I do it right with my finances? Is that the attitude that I carry along in my life, in our life? Has there ever been a time that you wished that you would have consulted somebody after you bought something? I think we've all been there. But somehow it's still hard for us to open up and ask those questions, because maybe it's because we've never been around people that have done it. I don't know. I don't know exactly know why it is that we don't do it. Like I said, how we handle our money says a lot about our spiritual walk. We're talking about making big purchases, making purchases, or how we handle our money, from the fruit of our labors. You know, we talked about being fruitful. Now we're thinking of what we should do with the extras that God has allowed us to have. And I'll also say that just because somebody has heaps of money doesn't mean that he's blessed of God. I mean, as you think of Bill Gates, and as you think of all those names, that's not necessarily just a blessing from God. While money, when God gives us, it can be a blessing, but it can also be a curse to us. We have to be careful. We have to be very careful. Humility and submission are principles that we can apply as we think of our lives in the area of money. Humility is what it will take in order to be in subjection. Humility always wants what is right. Humility always wants what is right. Humility wants what is honest. Humility won't give any wrong impression. Humility can follow advice. Humility isn't going to fight for what I can get or want. Being in submission. This can make some of us cringe, you know, as we think of getting too involved with each other's finances. And I'm not here going to tell you what I think it should all look like, because I don't know what it all should look like. But I do think we should be open and honest with where we're at, and let each other speak into each other's lives. And I'm not just saying that it should be the two deacons here that go around and make sure that everybody's doing it right, but open it up to someone where you're at. I think is healthy, is good. I'm not asking for anything more to do, okay? I'm not. Like I said, those two deacons, they wouldn't want it any other way that I had talked about earlier. They wouldn't want it any other way. I haven't talked to all their members, but the impression I get is they're very much involved with each other's lives, and they really enjoy that. Find a great blessing in it. But also, Hal could tell us many a story where a godly man has lost his way through riches, or just wrong choices in finances, and it depression can come upon a person. You know, there's many ways. Hell would have many a story where finances has been the key, that or the real reason that started them down a wrong path. And so it's very important that we look at finances not as separate from our spiritual walk, but it is something that we're accountable for. Somehow I need to speed up. As we think of being open, just in a general sense, not necessarily talking about finances, When you know that somebody is open with their life and somebody that is, you're just not sure that they're quite open, who would we rather surround ourselves with? And I think the same applies in our financial thing as well. Just being open with who we are, somehow it brings, I'm not exactly sure how to say it. Some of us can struggle to open up and learn from others. What is that? That is pride. I'm saying this in general, but it also applies in the financial. Like I said, when I get done telling you what we should do, or going over this point about the fruit of our labors, you're really not going to know what you should do with what I... My goal is not to just come out and tell you everything that you should do, but seek the Lord. So I don't know that it's made any sense at all. While I realize that personal and business operate differently, the principles still apply in the same way. How often do we pray or seek counsel? If someone would look through my finances, would that be embarrassing? Some of the purchases I've made, the way I've handled some of my money, would that be embarrassing? God sees it all anyway. He does. He sees every transaction. Why or why not? Someday we will give an account. Here's another quote from Clement Alexander. The scripture vouches that true riches of the soul are a man's ransom. In other words, salvation is the true riches, right? In other words, if he is rich, he will be saved by distributing his wealth. That was from Clement Alexander. Like I said, I don't think I brought anybody to a clear conclusion, but just some things to ponder. Next message might help as we think of giving, what we should do or could do, and I don't know that I'll have a lot of clear direction on how all of that should be as well. But here are a few more principles. I still have several principles that I would like to go through. We will not try to take long. First one is, the third point we want to look at, the third is going to be some principles. Now, in Matthew 6, we have, seek ye first God's kingdom. Think that would be a good principle? If we seek God's kingdom first, or seek God's kingdom through our business, whether it's a servant to the business or business my business, it will take us a long way. Matthew 6, verse 25 to the end. And it says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor let your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Because of all of this, wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For all of these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We all know about seeking God's kingdom first, right? We know it in our head, but how do we do it? How do we really do that? And as we think of, you know, we don't want to put our finance as our main focus. We want God's kingdom to be the focus, and it takes a lot of money to get through life. Let's seek God's kingdom first, and if we do that, I think the financial thing will come out all right. You know, we live in a world that is pursue your happiness. That's all around us. It affects us in many ways. You know, 10 out of 12 people can do this, and most people can do this over here. Why can I not have a little bit of that myself? It affects us. We live in a, we're surrounded with a society that is all for pursuit of happiness. And we must seek God's kingdom first. God allows us to joy. God will allow us to enjoy things of this life, okay? There is things that he will give us that we can be happy about. But if that is our pursuit, it won't come out right. It affects us. For some, God's kingdom comes when it fits my business. And again, business, I'm talking about financial. Seeking God's kingdom first. What are some of the practical ways that we can do seeking God's kingdom first? Is there some practical ways that we could do that? You know, we can talk about it, but what are some practical ways that we can actually seek God's kingdom first? What are things that we could do? I think of others, just others. When I take the focus off myself and I put it on others, that was Christ's heart when he came, right? It was all about others. It wasn't about himself. Others, helping others. Putting others' needs over my own. You know, we can look at others, but I have a need, they have a need. What should we do first? And I know that God commands us to take care of our own. I know that. So, seeking God's kingdom first. I don't know exactly how that should all look. Praying that God would show me every situation what he wants me to do, even in business. You know, when we make a purchase, seek him. Is it a need? Is it a want? Is it a desire? What is it? It will take us a long way in life. When I seek God's kingdom first, my bank account won't get too big. My purchases will show that God is first. My business will not get too big. Seeking God is also very directly related in being open with my brothers. And so, again, I don't have a lot of specifics that I'm going to give you, but if you think of your finances and how you should relate to your finances, think of seeking God first, seeking God for your finances. He cares. He cares about those things. Sharing the gospel. And sometimes that's buying things to help explain the gospel better, maybe, I don't know. The fourth point that I have, I'll try to run through these, is where our treasure is where our heart is. And we will read Matthew 6:19-23. And it says, "Lay not up yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do break through and steal, nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light, I think we'll just stop there for the sake of time. Now, it's not where my heart is. My heart is not a safe place to say that that's where my treasure is. But it is where my treasure is. God says that is where my heart is. If my heart is money, if my treasure is money, that's where my heart is. If my treasure is seeking God's kingdom first, that's my treasure. That's where my heart will be also. So we can't, sometimes we can deceive ourselves in those areas. Maybe it's something that we should lay out before the Lord. God, show me what is my greatest treasure on earth. What do you think? You think he would delight in telling us? I think he would. And I think he would like to help us. Where is my treasure? If our pursuit is God's kingdom first, then our business will follow. That our business will follow that. But if my treasure is money, and my heart and business will follow that as well. Our treasure does not follow our heart, but our heart follows our treasure. Where is my treasure? Like I said, do we ever ask that question? You know, here's a thought that I had. So as I'm driving down the road and everything is quiet, I'm just driving down the road, where do my thoughts go to? What do I tend to think about? My family, worshiping God, business, money. Where most generally does my thought go to? It's a good indication that that's probably where my treasure is. The thing that my, not saying that it can't be a wide variety of things, but that thing that is most often comes to my mind, what is it? Is it the church? Is it the brothers and sisters? Let's not be deceived in those things. Let's be honest with God. All right, we'll leave that one. The fifth one is I should maybe do the sixth one before the fifth one because we're going to turn back here. But the fifth one I have is in John, 1 John, chapter 1, verses 5, 6, and 7. And you can say, well, that doesn't have anything to do with finances. But I don't see that finances are excluded here either. And it says, the point I have is walking in the light, thinking of our finances. This then is the message which we've heard of him declared unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So that at all, could that include our finances? I think so. And if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So walking in the light with my finances is extremely important. Whether it's doing taxes, whether it's filling out a bill, whatever it is. I'll just give you a look. This just came to my mind. The other day, I went to the bank, and I was sure that when I came home, I had $300 more in my bank account than I should have had. Do I just not say anything, or do I let them know? That's the kind of thing that we're talking about. Just being in the light. That $300 could be an absolute curse to me if it's not mine. I was the one that made the mistake. The bank assured me that we were right. So I accept that. I'm just saying those kind of things. That $300 is, it's just $300. But that thing could be an absolute curse to me. That thing could cost me thousands of dollars in many different ways. God is in control. He can let the vehicle break down. He can let the refrigerator break down. He can let all those kind of things happen to where that thing could have cost me so much more than $300. Being in the light. Let's walk in the light with our finances. Nothing hidden. I'm just open where I'm at. I have nothing to hide. That's all I'll share out of that one. And number six is in the Lord's Prayer. And there's three principles I want to briefly touch on that. And that, so that is in Matthew 6, verses 9 to 13. And it says, "After this manner therefore pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." So my point here is, thy will be done. Well, there's three principles in there that I would like to look at. And one you might wonder about. In verse 9, he said, verse 10 is going to be our focus, more or less. But verse 9, it says, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Can I worship? You know, my business, is it taking from my worship? Or is it adding to my worship? So can I worship God? Is there anything that is hindering my worship to God and our finances? Worship. Worship is a, you know, if I'm struggling to worship God, there could be such a thing as there's trouble in my finances, something I didn't do right. So if we can worship God with our, not necessarily with our finances, but also not exclude them. Somehow God has given us all these things, and we are to be, yeah, I'll leave that. Second is, thy will be done. What is God's will? And it says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is God's will in heaven? His kingdom. And may that be our focus. May that be our focus. You know, how, now you're going to, now we can think, well, how does that relate very practically to my business? Well, we need to bring that all before the Lord. I can't just tell you how that should all look like. But a thought that came to me, if God would send his angels for a month to take care of my business, how would that look like? Would it be a big difference? Would there be a big shift in how business is done with my personal finances? And if so, why? If so, why? Because, you know, we want to do it right, do we not? If there'd be a big shift, if the angels would come and do it, why would that be? And I think that's where we need to, thy will be done. Oh God, help us with our finances. It's very important. That will be done. Would that be a scary thought for his angels to come and take care of our finances or look through our finances? I have a few more quotes here. And I didn't write them all down. I was running out of time, so I took a picture of them. As he who treads a road is happier the lighter he walks, so happier is he in this journey of life who lifts himself along in poverty and does not breathe heavily under the burden of riches. Yet, even if he thought wealth to be useful to us, we would ask it of God. Assuredly, he is able to indulge us in some measure, since his is the whole, since he owns everything. But we would rather scorn riches than possess them. And I don't know that I know, it comes out of the early church writings, it's Mark Mensuus Felix. Mark Felix. Luxury does not entertain the fear of God. And it's interesting. There is several whole pages. No, I shouldn't say whole page. Yeah, there's a whole page, at least a whole page of those kind of writings from the early church fathers. So God help us. As we think of thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven, then the third one is principle that we want to look at is, lead us not into temptation. You know, those things, sometimes we think we're very innocent in that thing that I want to buy. But what is the end of that thing? And that thing can take us where we don't want it to take us. And so a prayer to have as we are purchasing things, as we're dealing with money, is that, God, lead us not into temptation. Help so that this thing don't take me where I don't want it to go. I just believe is very important for us. I know I've made purchases to where this thing, all of a sudden, I find my heart over here, and I'm like, how did that happen? How did that happen? And so, let's think of those things. Lead us not into temptation is a principle. What does the Bible tell us the root of all evil is? If my treasure is money, what a tragedy. If my treasure is God, it will be okay. Here's a study. I didn't do this study, but read about it. A study of some businessmen. And these businessmen had well intent in mind. Okay? They had their families in mind, but they wanted to provide well for their families. A study. As they pursued money at the end of life, their greatest regret is they sacrificed their families and relationships for money. That is a study that somebody did on men who had well-intended mind, but also wanted to provide well for their families, and I'm not sure that the well for their families wasn't a greater goal than the other one, but at the end of life, they had regrets. And usually when you sacrifice your family and relationships, a family is who knows where. And so God help us. Money does not satisfy. Here's another quote, and it can sound a little funny. It said, I never seen a U-Haul following a hearse. A hearse. In other words, all our stuff will stay behind. All our stuff will stay behind. You're not going to need a U-Haul on the day of your funeral to take with you. Neither will I. I have one more, and I'll try to make it very quick. I'm sorry I took so long. I thought I was not going to do this again. Chapter 4 of Acts. Verse 32, and the multitude of them believed were of one heart, of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things that he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, as many as were possessors of the lands and houses sold them and brought the price of the things that were sold, and they laid down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made to unto every man according as his need. And I'll just stop there. I was going to read on, but I'll just stop there. So they had things in common. I don't think what they sold was everything they had, but they sold their extras, it seemed like, and held them in a common purse. Now, while I'm not going to say how that should all look, the thing that I would like to encourage us in is, do we all need everything? Or can we borrow, can we borrow from each other? Is my thought on this. I'm not going to tell you exactly how this should all look as a common purse. Those things that we have, are you free to come ask me? Am I free to come ask you if I can borrow it? I think we are fairly independent on this. And I'm not saying that we just need one vehicle for the church. That's not what I'm saying. But those things that we don't need every day, that is just something that we use once in a while, would it be okay if we would use each other's things? Just have more of a commonness about us in those ways, I think would be a blessing. I still believe that these, when they sold those things, I think that the families, as much as they could, still provided for their own, if I understand the scripture right here in Acts 4. They would still provide for their own, but it was those extra things, and then they distributed as extra needs came in. And this comes under the subjection again. How much are we part of each other's lives? I just want to encourage that. I think our independence hinders our spiritual growth at times. And then also being responsible with those things that we do borrow from each other. So in closing, just one more little thing. I shouldn't say little thing. But I wanted to bring in is, it's a question amongst us. I've heard a little here and there. And that is, how do we handle our children's money? And I'm not going to tell you how to do it. Other than, I think we should be very, you know, there's some that give it up from young on up. There's others that keep it for a while. There's others that do it differently, okay? I just want to say that. What I want to encourage us to do is to watch over that, to teach them. You know, when I got to the age of 21 and I got my paycheck, now I was going to go, how far do you think that thing went? I didn't go very far because I didn't get nearly everything bought that I wanted to buy. Nobody was there to tell me what I should or should not do. So what I want to say is, help them. Teach them how to save. You know, when they want to start on their own, if they don't know how to save at a young age, they'll probably struggle with that through their whole life. Now, I'm not saying see how big you can get that thing. That's not what I'm saying, but teach them how to save. Teach them how on their purchases. What makes sense for what you're needing to buy? What makes sense? It's just important. It's not like we wanting to be lords over them, but do we want, you know, if I think of the child's happiness now and then, we just let them go, right? But if we think of eternity, what is our duty? What is our duty? And what about teaching them how to give? Is that important? It's just as important than teaching them how to give. Nobody taught me how to do that. So anyway, that is just a little thought here I wanted to throw in as I think of finances. So in conclusion, I just want to, again, as we think of goals, as we think of dealing with people, I'm just going to go over those, a few of those that I wrote down, is being a servant of God, having a happy customer. We want them to feel like they were treated with respect, talking about the customer, thinking of quality. Then were some of the goals that we want to surround ourselves with. Some of the principle, meekness, just, fair, do unto others, honest, humility, integrity, virtue, submission, seek God's kingdom first, where is my treasure, walking in the light, thy will be done, worship, lead me not into temptation, and then common union with what we have. Can them just want to, in conclusion, throw those out as principles with our finances. So I don't know if you got anything from it or not. If you did, you have to thank the Lord, because I'm learning myself here. It's not something that I've achieved. So God bless you. We are grateful to be part of you.